Amen.
Well, it's great to be with you guys all today in worship, mostly because worship in St. Andrew always brings me up and uplifts me, and I need that at the moment, because yesterday football was just awful across the board. A&M lost, Texas lost, like, and if you're from OU, good for you, but like for the rest of us, yesterday was rough. But I'm telling myself, you've got church today. This afternoon's going to be better. You've got week 5 of the NFL. You've got week 3 of the NFL, Taylor's version, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Some of you out there might be like, Taylor Swift is the worst thing that ever happened in the NFL. And I need you to know that you are wrong. And the reason why you are wrong is because I want you to take for a second and imagine just for a second what we can accomplish in this world if you have the passion of Swifties combined with the optimism of fantasy football owners. You could conquer the world if those two things came together. We could certainly beat Ticketmaster for the first time, and we could actually change what this is supposed to be. And I'm thinking about this, honestly, all week, because I'm thinking about like the idea of what can happen if you actually bring people together. Because as Miss Rachel was saying, this is the week where we are talking about family. And not that Swifties are family, but if I said that they're not, they would fight me, and I know better than to argue with Taylor Swift's legion. But as we look at this series that we're in, where we're going through the sermons of Jesus, we're talking about the places and the ways in which Jesus preached, we're looking at what are these consistent themes, these consistent values that he constantly lifted up. And one of them is the very notion of family, where there was this through line all through what Jesus was doing on this earth. And then with all of his apostles, all of his disciples, there was this constant thread of this idea of a unified group of people who deeply cared for each other and were family. And so as we like dive into this today, like our minds are all going to go in a lot of different directions as we think about family, because we all have different experiences. We all have different understandings of family. We all have different backgrounds that inform our thought process, our mindset when we hear that word. One of the things, honestly, that comes to me when I think of family is I think about my wife and I's wedding weekend. And the reason for that is because that was the weekend that I was officially brought into my wife's family. My wife comes from a family that is 100% Italian. They all live in Ohio, and they eat and drink and talk like they're 100% Italian, and it is fantastic. That was the weekend where, right, like you marry into a family and you realize that you are welcomed and loved and cared for in a way, that, is an inherently special and sacred and wonderful. And the Rosies are on a whole different level. See, they have this, this really massive family, and not even all of them even live in Ohio at this point. People have started to spread out to Texas and California and Florida and all these other places. And even the ones that are in Ohio have found themselves just like deeply spreading out to where some of them live like 45 minutes away, and yet they will come back together on like a weekly basis to just be around each other, because they find themselves realizing how important family is and they want to invest in it. And it's why at least once a year, the entire family, the entire Rosie clan come back together at least once, not for a reunion, but just because the family wants to be together. And it's one of the things that I deeply love. It is one of the greatest blessings in my life, is to be a part of that Rosie family. And the truth is that there is something intrinsically in us. There is something that is just like baked into our soul where we want to value family. Because even when you go back to like the early parts of scripture, this is how things were talked about. When you looked at the Israelites, they would talk about the importance of family. There's this moment in the book of Joshua where Joshua actually lays down this gauntlet about family. And he says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." The context of there is the Israelites were rescued from Egypt. Joshua is now one of their leaders, and he's basically calling them out, effectively saying like, hey, you guys have been worshiping these Egyptian gods, and that's not who you were called to be. You were called to worship God. And he throws down this gauntlet of, as for me and my household, or in some variations, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. This is who we are. And Israelites had an interesting understanding of family, right? So like their households, they had a thing where, you know, you had a household with the mom and the dad and brothers and sisters who would all live together in this house. But you would also have grandparents who would also live in that house together, this multi-generational thing. But even then, that innermost core of a household, of a family, also included any servants that you had, any debt slaves, any concubines, any orphans or widows that you had taken in, anything like that were considered a part of that family, which admittedly is super weird, because could you imagine introducing your grandmother to your concubine? And I don't understand how that worked, but Israel was a wild time. And so that's what they considered their innermost family. But beyond that, they also considered what they would call clans, which were neighbors in a larger overall community. So everybody who lived in a similar geographical region that were pretty tight-knit, effectively a neighborhood, they were considered kind of the second ring of a family or a household in that time. And then you had this third overall ring that was considered the tribe, right? And so the tribe was all of these over a massive span of area that all came from a singular overall point. These were called the 12 tribes of Israel for the 12 sons of Jacob. And this is how they understood it. So you have these tribes, then these clans, then these overall families, overall households. And the idea was, what are going to be the things that unify? And what Joshua is trying to do, where he says, as for me and my household, as for me and my family, we are going to serve God. That is who we are going to be about. That is what we are going to do. And what Joshua is trying to really lay down the gauntlet here is he is laying down the gauntlet of what are family values. Because if our family all values the same thing, that will be what unifies us. So y'all do what you're going to do, but us, not just me, but us are going to be about this. And that idea of values is, as I think about it, it honestly is kind of the thing that does unify a family. It might be one of the most fundamental things that actually creates unity and creates bonds within a family. There's a story once of this family who every time they would see a homeless person or somebody who was asking for money, they would find the nearest grocery store, they would go buy groceries, and they would give it to that person. And the mom and the dad would teach their kids that they would go, no, 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 in our family, we don't give money, we give groceries. A couple of weeks later, months later, whatever, they would see another person, they would find the closest grocery store, they would buy groceries, they would give it to that person. In our family, we don't give money, we buy groceries. And then one day, as these kids had grown up with this being parroted to them over and over and over, their daughter, who's like 16 or 17 years old, is walking down the street, sees a homeless person, finds the closest grocery store, spends like the only $15 she has, and goes and buys the groceries that she can buy and gives it to this man. And she's recounting this story to her mom later on. And her mom is like, well, here, let me pay you back. And the girl goes, no, because in our family, we don't give money. We buy groceries. It's who we are. It's what we do. The value that was instilled in that child means that when she hears family, she's going to think differently because of it. Because the thing that bonded them was not just the fact that they necessarily shared the last name or they had grown up together, but actually because there was something that they all deeply cared about and believed in and prioritized. And it's in this way that we have to understand that family is beyond this idea of simply those who have been born under the same name, those who have been born to a specific set of parents, but it can actually be bigger, because the way that Jesus talked about it was not simply this idea of family is who you came from, but family was actually something bigger. Because there's this moment in history, or I'm sorry, there's this moment in scripture rather, in the book of Matthew, where it says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, he was kind of giving this sermon, right? And it says his mother and his brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. That would have been Mary, right? From like the nativity story. And it says, someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And Jesus replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Whoever does the will of God in heaven is my family. Taking it, right? Taking it away from this idea of family is a specific lineage and actually taking it into this idea that family is the very notion of values. Family is the ones who are doing the thing that is actually the priority that you have for your household and for your life. And so as Jesus is saying this, I remember this story where there's this guy who was high up in the Houston Police Department, and he would tell this story of like, he would often ask people like, all right, if you were in the police force and you had the opportunity to work Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, which one do you want to work? And you would think, you would be like, I'd rather do Christmas Eve, right? Because it's like Jesus' birthday and there's eggnog, it's supposed to be happy. And like, you know, New Year's Eve, they drink other things and there's kind of lots of crazy parties and whatnot. And he goes, no. You're so naive. You do not want to work Christmas Eve as a police officer. You want New Year's Eve. You know why? Because New Year's Eve, you spend with the people you choose to have in your life. Christmas Eve, you choose to, or you have to go spend with the people that maybe you don't want to have in your life. And he's like, the domestic dispute calls that you get on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are some of the worst that you get throughout the entire year. Whereas New Year's Eve, everybody's happy. There's like, hey, let's celebrate the new year. Let's celebrate with our friend group. Let's celebrate with the people we want to be around. This is going to be a great day. And it's really funny when you think about that, of this idea of like family can be this thing that you choose. And it doesn't mean that you can't be with people that you come from, right? Like you can choose to have that. Some of you might be in here going like, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. Like I love my family. I want to spend time with my family. I do Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve with my family. It's excellent. Like they raised me. I love them. And some of you in this room are like, absolutely not. I will spend as little time with them as possible. You don't know my upbringing. You don't know where I came from. I've got a different life now. And this is idea that basically what Jesus is laying down this gauntlet for us, for people to recognize that actually family can be beyond a familial bond, but can actually be built on some value that everybody has together. And as some of us may not necessarily fully grasp that, one thing that is true is all of us do understand that there are seasons of life where family looks different. See, the show Friends has this really crazy background. Friends was on for like 10 years. It's like the second highest grossing show of all time in human history. It really started in a very different way. So the original title of Friends was Insomnia Cafe. Yeah, not a great name, right? Like that was never going to win an Emmy. But so they, in Insomnia Cafe, the idea was that these two showrunners back in 1993, they wanted to highlight what it was like to be a part of Gen X, right? They wanted to highlight what it was like to live as a part of this generation that doesn't see itself as a part of the rest of the world, that sees themselves as different, as outcasts, etc. And so they wanted to do a show all about that. That way of living and really dive in on that demographic. And the people at NBC were like, no, because like nobody else is going to watch this except your generation. And that's a terrible idea. So they went back to the drawing board and they then came up with an idea of, oh, okay, so like, you know, people that are in like their 20s to early 30s, they're really trying to figure it out, right? They stay up late. They don't know where their next direction is going. They don't know what they're going to do for a living. They're trying to figure out who they are, what they're going to be about, et cetera. So what if we made a show about that idea? And the execs at NBC were like, oh, I mean, you're a little bit closer, but here's the problem is like, if you make a show that's all about, we don't know what we're going to do when we grow up, what happens when you figure out, where's the story go once you figure out who you're going to be when you grow up? But here's what they realized in that is they go, well, actually what we want to do is we want to make a show about the season of life where your friends become your family. Because there's this season in your 20s where, yeah, you're trying to figure life out, but more importantly, you build this bond with other people around you and they become your de facto family. And that's exactly what happened. And that's actually why it resonated, because so many people, regardless of where they're at, can resonate with that very notion. It's why today people still watch Friends, despite the fact that like the show is almost 30 years old and it looks and feels like it's 30 years old. And yet the emotion of that idea of trying to find family in that season of life makes a lot of sense. And it ties into this like this old phrase that so many of us have heard, which is this phrase of, you know, blood is thicker than water. So that phrase first showed up in like 14th century German literature. I researched it this week and didn't know I was going to go down that rabbit hole, but I did. And the funny thing, so it showed up in like 14th century German epic poetry. And in that, there wasn't a lot of context. That line existed for the first time, but there wasn't a lot of context of what was actually meant by that line. And so a lot of people have read into it with different interpretations over time. And most of us think about blood is thicker than water as this idea of like, okay, yeah, it's cool that you had friends in your 20s, but don't forget that your family, the people you came from, are always more important. That's who you should be thicker with, closer to, than people that you just share food with, i.e. drink water with. But one of the interpretations actually comes from the Christian church, which is that the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. We're actually going back to this notion of value, where the blood of the covenant, understanding that a family that is built on a certain kind of value is thicker than people just happened to be born from the same person. And the truth is that if we understand family as this thing of what are the things that are constantly going to tie us together, that starts to make sense. Because what ends up happening with Friends is the reason the show ends is because they all start going in different directions. Their circumstances have changed, and all of a sudden they're like now living in different areas and doing different things with their lives. They're no longer a family together. And even funny, when you talk to the actors of it, right? Like they were together for 10 years. They lived a life that nobody else could possibly live. And then they all kind of go their own separate ways. And it's not that they hate each other, but they're like, I mean, yeah, like we still text, we still talk. But like you can tell they're not really family anymore. Because the thing that bonded them changed. But if you understand a value, that doesn't change. If you understand a value, especially a value that isn't tied to the world, but is tied to the one who got up on a cross, the one who made the world, the one who brought salvation to the world, if you build a family on that value, that's never going to shift. That's not a circumstance. That's actually a core part of our identity. It's a core part of our soul. And in fact, that was the kind of family that Jesus himself was talking about. He was talking about a family that was built on this very notion of a redeemed vision of the world. He was talking about a family that could see past any differences that exist on this earth, on this physical plane, but could actually be tied to the will of God in heaven. I look at what's happening in the Middle East right now, and I think of just like, there's a lot of geopolitical dynamics, et cetera, everything, et cetera, at play. But one thing that I know, and the one thing that I think everybody in this room that can agree with, is that God did not envision a world in which people would be attacking each other in that way. But God envisioned a world where there was a family who was so dedicated to the value of living for God's will that they could actually sit with people who came from a different background or a different understanding, or people who truly hated each other but loved God, and they realized that they could be family as a result of that, because the value that they shared would be greater than that hatred. This is the vision that God has envisioned for the world. This is what Jesus was trying to bring about. This was the calling that Jesus had upon our lives, because we sometimes mess up in our faith where we try to believe that that faith is this opportunity where we invite Jesus into our heart. And what we fail to realize is that Jesus is already present in our heart, already present in our lives, and he's just waiting for us to recognize that and waiting for us to buy into that and live into that, and he's inviting us. Instead, faith is actually us realizing that Jesus is inviting us into a family that is larger than us, that has existed before us, that will exist long after us, and that we get to have an opportunity to sit at that table if we're willing to do the will of God in heaven. That's what it means to be a family. That's why family can actually look like the people that you grew up in the same household with, because you can share that value of Christ. It's why family can look like the people that you connected with in your 20s, because you can share that value in Christ. It's why family can look like the people that you raise your kids with when you share that value in Christ, because that is the family that will outlast everything. As the world shifts, as your life shifts, that family stays together because you're willing to look at each other and you're willing to say, in our family, we follow God. In our family, we invite people into this space and we worship alongside them regardless of where they've come from or their past. In our family, we challenge each other to be the best versions of each other. We don't call each other out, but we call each other up to who God has called you to be. In our family, we sit with those who are hurting. We sit with those who are broken. We sit with those who are in pain, are in suffering, and provide for them hope. In our family, we believe that there is a world that is greater than this world. In our family, we don't buy into hate. We buy into love. In our family, we buy into grace. When we begin to see each other as brothers and sisters, we begin to see each other as children of God, we realize that it's just like that 17-year-old girl who was raised in the values of her family. And she'll do the same for her kids and the same for her kids. And we actually have a moment where we recognize the long-standing work of God over generations of the same family that has traced itself back to that very room where Jesus said, here are my brothers and my sisters. For this is my family, for they do the will of God. In our family, we follow God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, God, you've made a family on this earth, and it looked differently than we expected. And it continues to look different than we expected. But God, you continue to bring this family together. And so God, I ask that you allow us to realize the values that you have placed, the values that are the most important. Allow us to continue to value you in heaven and value your will above all others. God, allow us to realize that in this family, we don't follow the world. In this family, we don't follow hatred. In this family, we don't follow our own hearts. In this family, we follow God. In this family, we follow grace. In this family, we follow the vision that you have. Let that sit on our hearts as we sing together about what this means for our family. Amen.